Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Back in Studio A this morning with my guest, as I mentioned, from Child Haven. Andrea Pena is here. She, of course, is the executive director of the Child Haven Foundation, and she's back with me this morning. Andrea, good morning. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
You bet. It's good to see you. And we were talking earlier that this is almost your fifth year at Child Haven, right?
Yes.
How about that?
Yep. I've just passed 5 years, and my technical title, it's so many words, Chief Development Officer.
Okay.
So I still have the wonderful job of connecting the community to Child Haven and vice versa, and I'm so thankful to have been here for 5 years, and I'm just still glad to be there.
Right, right. Well, congratulations, and it's great to have you back to talk a little bit about the work that Child Haven continues to do in the community, and also, of course, the Pledge for Children campaign, which is happening right now.
Yeah, we just launched the campaign last week, and so we're excited to see the ways that the community wants to be involved and connect, like I said, with Child Haven. And we've also been getting a lot of calls earlier this year about how can people help and what can they give. And so that those holiday festive feelings are already amongst all of us. And so it's really exciting to see people wanting to help.
Right.
To Child Haven.
Very true. And people do think about donating at the end of the year. There are certain, and I don't know this, I mean, I'm not an accountant, but they tell me there are certain tax advantages maybe to doing that at the end of the year for your current year taxes and things like that. And so that's why we hear a lot about folks maybe doing this at this time of year.
Absolutely. And I think that's a wonderful part of how our country has things set up and nonprofits being able to do the work that we do. We can't do it without support, without financial support. And so I think if people are looking for places to give, please look at Child Haven and others. I always encourage people to diversify. And the thing about charity and philanthropy is it just grows. And so it's not quite just in a box and limited. Even one person doing something generous inspires somebody else, or people see other ways they can do it. So
right. Yeah. Very true. And of course, Child Haven has been a part of this community for a long, long time. And based on the philanthropy of the community and the generosity of the community, has the organization been able to grow and I would say thrive and meet all these really important needs. I mean, we kind of wish you were out of business, but unfortunately, that's not the case. And there's still a big need for the jobs that Child Haven provides and the services that Child Haven provides to kids in our community.
Yes, I was just reviewing a documentary we did for our 50th anniversary now, which was 4 years ago. So we've been there for 54 years. And there was an interview we did with the three of the ladies who founded Child Haven. So Betty Berry, who many people in the community would have known. So she passed away somewhat recently. And then this year, about a month or two ago, the first director of Child Haven, Dolores Goodman, passed away. So I just was thinking through and just being reminded of how it started and the grassroots organization that it was based on a direct need. And in their story, during their storytelling, they mentioned that children were wandering the streets. And Betty had said, you know, Farmington is better than this. We can do better than this. And so Child Haven was started with that type of tenacity and determination to solve that problem. The interesting thing is here we are 54 years later. And this last spring, I was talking to our current director at the shelter, and she had mentioned that many cases that come through are because children are wandering the streets. So we may not see them as visibly, right around here, but that is still a reality. And as you alluded to, you know, if we lost our jobs because the problems had gone away, that would be really the goal, isn't it? So that this problem is fixed. But as we stand right now, it's definitely still a significant problem facing San Juan County.
Right, which is unfortunate. But we're so glad that Child Haven is here and no one has to start it from scratch, because it really has done a lot of great work. And now there's generations of children who are no longer wandering the streets, who have gotten a safe childhood and been able to become productive members of society and are giving back. And they're, I don't know how many untold success stories about the work of Child Haven over those generations.
Yes, and the fact that the agency has expanded beyond a shelter and has included programs like CASA Volunteers, foster care, Children's Advocacy Center, therapy and assessments, has really helped address the needs surrounding why children are in those situations in more of a circumspect way. So it's not just keeping them safe for however many nights they're in our care, but really making sure that holistically that child and their family are given tools to thrive. And so I think that's important in looking at addressing these issues, not just dealing with the temporary, but looking at the long term.
Right. It really has expanded into a lot of different services. And now there's really an umbrella of services for kids and their families and foster care and a lot of things that we can talk about too. And all these things benefit from the donations that folks give to Child Haven. It helps in all these different areas, right?
Yes. And as we're talking about, you know, the season of giving and people giving to different types of things, and there are tax advantages to those situations, to those giving situations, seeing that the dollars people give are what fuels these types of things to be done, this work to be done. And a lot of people work so hard in their 8-to-5s or whatever, or now we have a lot of remote workers, so whatever your time frame is, but that their dollars are what makes these things happen and does touch people's lives at the end of the day. And that's so inspiring. And you know, a lot of people wouldn't be able to handle some of the jobs. There's jobs at Child Haven I would not be able to do.
Right.
But knowing that helping people help people is really, really cool.
Very true. Very true. So let's talk a little bit about the Foster Hope and the Pledge for Children campaign, and which we're in right now. Right. This started maybe how long ago? Recently.
Like last Wednesday.
Okay.
So it's very
recently.
Yeah, so the Pledge for Children campaign. And we do that every year at the end of the year.
Right.
It's just really encouraging people to give. So we do mailing and you know, different types of PR things to talk about it, but we don't have a formal event with it. But really it's just connecting people to this work. So this is through the Child Haven Foundation. A really cool thing is we do have a match with it. So the Four Corners Cancer Center has given a challenge match of up to $10,000. So as people are giving to the campaign now, they can help really double that impact for the work that we're doing.
Oh, great.
So really thankful for that. And to have a community business, well, you know, the cancer center, being part of that is just really inspiring.
So you can turn $10,000 into $20,000.
Exactly.
Just like that. So that's wonderful. And is there a deadline, I guess, do folks need to donate by a certain date in order to have that match? I assume it's fairly set, but
Well, so we run the campaign really through December. I mean, if people want to give into 2024, we will let them.
And never send back a check, probably, if they want to give to Child
Haven. No problem. If they want to start off their year giving, that's great. But we do hope, and we do often make a match like that by the end of December. But goodness, we're at the beginning of a week. It's right after Thanksgiving. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday.
Right.
What would it be if we made that by Friday?
That would be great.
Yeah. Who knows? That would be amazing.
True.
There's the challenge.
So there you go. Very good. But that's a great opportunity to make your dollars count even more by donating during this time, to have it matched by the Four Corners Cancer Center, which is wonderful for Child Haven. And again, the money goes into the Child Haven Foundation, which is set up to help kind of fill in the gaps, I guess, for some of the programs that Child Haven does, maybe that grant funding doesn't cover, or certain other specific dollars don't fund certain things in those programs. Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah, and the way that agencies like ours work, as you alluded to, there's a lot of grants involved, and it's multiple funding sources. So in order to make sure there's stability to the funding, and if any gaps need to be filled, that's the importance of the foundation. And having longevity in mind, because if we're having these types of issues now in 2023, And we do hope that things improve going forward, but we know that these types of services are crucial and core to a community success. So the foundation was created to have years in mind to make sure that not just this year Child Haven makes our budget, but looking onward. So yeah, then right. The other slide that you had on, I didn't know if you,
I'll go back.
If you had gone, if we were going to go back to it, but
yeah.
Foster care was one thing I definitely wanted. I'm glad you brought it up because that was
sure.
One thing I was hoping we could talk about.
You bet.
So San Juan County in general really lacks foster homes. So the two programs in San Juan County would be CYFD and Child Haven. Child Haven's program is a higher level care, which really means higher level training and level of support for the foster families. So when there are too many or a lack of foster homes and then too many kids in these homes, as you can imagine, the things that these children have experienced, that could be a struggle if, you
right.
know,
sure.
if they're with more kids than just their sibling group. And maybe they have some type of mental health diagnosis. But these children are still, they're still children that need to be nurtured and cared for and provided for. And so Child Haven program equips foster families and provides support to them to help these children thrive. And then we work hand in hand with our CASA program. So one of our main volunteer programs at Child Haven, which we also need people to be looking at and considering.
They'll be on the training in the spring.
Yes.
Probably for
up.
CASA.
Yeah,
so.
And if you're interested sooner, I'm sure we could get them.
There you
get
go.
Them in
Fast
sooner.
Track you.
Yeah.
That's true. But CASA is the Court Appointed Special Advocate
yes.
acronym. And that works really a lot all the time with children that are in the court system mm-hmm. and working their way through and really tries to advocate for that child.
Yeah.
And that's the whole idea behind CASA, right?
Yes, exactly. And there are too many kids in San Juan County that aren't being able to be helped. And so whether by volunteering or with the foster care program, even if it's there's something called respite care,
mm-hmm.
which would be like helping on a weekend or while a foster parent needs to go to an appointment. If somebody's not able to commit, you know, their whole days and
24/7,
yeah,
365, right.
There's still avenues to help because if people within the system are supported, it just makes it more possible for people. So
right. And so Child Haven provides the training
yes.
for these foster parents that want to get involved or even learn more about it before they even make the plunge, I guess, into being a full-fledged foster parent, but you'll provide training and information and also for the CASA program as well. I know there's a lot of training, a lot of support for folks who want to do that type of really important work in the community.
Yes, so we do have somebody on staff who is our recruiter for this program. So if you are even considering or thinking about it, and we understand that people probably won't sign up to be ready to do it tomorrow, it takes time to think about it, and there's a lot of details that go into making sure that it's a success. It is a 40-hour training, and then there's a home study involved. But if we can start with a conversation, that's
right.
a great place to be. So our website, childhavennm.org, has a foster care page with information to reach out. We now have a foster care specific office building, so that's still pretty new for us.
Nice,
and I think
right.
we're going on almost year two of having that. So right there on Apache and Airport, there's the foster care center. I'll just say that sounds more official.
Right.
Where if you wanted to stop by during business hours and just
right.
talk to somebody, that would be a great thing too.
Okay. And as you mentioned, there is this respite foster care. So if you're maybe not ready to be a foster parent 24/7, 365, mm-hmm. but you want to maybe help a child, you can maybe sign up for this respite care, which is maybe only a few hours at a time, which then helps the other full-time foster parent to have a little bit of a break if they have to go to an appointment, as you said, or something else is going on. But there are options, I think, than just making the full pledge, you know, and plunge
yeah.
100% of the time to be a foster parent.
Yeah,
if you're not quite ready to make that commitment.
Definitely. I think respite care is a wonderful thing to consider for that reason. And then the training is the same. It's, you know, the information is
sure.
the same.
Right. And the support is the same.
Yeah. And so being able to see how it actually works before making that big commitment, I think, is just really wise to do. And then going back to the CASA volunteer program, that's another way. If somebody is interested in working with these types of cases and children in these situations, I think that's also a good step, just to kind of get an understanding of how it works. I don't think too many people realize that foster care is often the goal is reunification.
Right.
Maybe not necessarily with the parent, but with kinship first. That's first and foremost. So
right.
Bio parent if possible, biological parent if possible, kinship if possible. And so.
And it may take a few months.
Yeah, it may take
a few weeks.
Yeah,
a few years.
Longer,
but,
yes.
But it's designed to kind of be that way.
Yes.
Right?
And often people will tell us, I don't know if I have the heart to, you know, let somebody in and love them and then let them go. But isn't that really true love? There's risk involved, and we do that with people we love in our lives. But taking that risk and benefiting somebody for it, I think there's hardly any other type of selfless love that we could offer.
Right. Very true. Very true. My guest this morning, Andrea Pena, is here. She is with Child Haven, of course. It does so much great work in our community. They are in the start of their Pledge for Children campaign and have a matching grant. And so this is the time to maybe make a donation and double your donation with this matching grant between now and maybe the end of the calendar year, which is fast approaching. I can't believe we're already at the end of November, almost Christmas and December time. And it's going to be here before we know it.
I know, it really is.
So,
and then it's going to be 2024.
Right. I know, but I don't want to think about it,
no,
but
right.
That's okay. But we were talking about it, so that's all right. But I know that we talked about the Child Haven Foundation, and I wanted to mention, too, that I think the other good point of having the foundation and the really smart people that set that up was to ensure that, you know, you rely a lot on grant funding for a lot of your programs, I would say, and God forbid one of those grants goes away or says, you know, we can't fund you at the level that we used to fund you. And so the foundation is there so that maybe the budget doesn't have to get slashed or cut or eliminated, and that program then can continue until maybe other sources of funding are found or that grant comes back at full capacity or whatever the case may be. But it's really kind of a safety net for the Child Haven programs to make sure that they continue and the work that you do continues in the community.
Right. The reality is that a lot of the funding for these types of programs, and not just at Child Haven, I know that a lot of other nonprofits in our area are facing funding issues. Grant funds are often not secured, for one. And then a lot of grants like innovative ideas, which it's always good to think outside of the box. However, when there are these core and central issues that need to be addressed, there's always often projects associated with grants, and I'm not trying to put any grantors down. I'm just trying to explain to the community how it really works. There's projects that are often associated, which are amazing and helpful. But when the work we do is not able to get fully supported, there's something we've got to call into question of how can we make this successful, because there are kids and families at the end of this scenario that need, like, kids need a warm bed still, and they need good
right.
food to eat. And so
if you can't meet those needs, then
right.
the rest of it, the innovative stuff isn't going to work either.
Right. And so that's where the importance for our sector to have a foundation is important, because there are funding instabilities, and there's a whole way that works. And what that looks like is maybe a 1 to 4 year grant, or you have to renew a grant every year. But we know that next year there'll be children who need these services. And something, if I can mention,
sure.
that we hadn't really talked about too much that we've always offered are private placements. So we've had a couple situations where families were facing some like medical situations. So we had a mom who needed to have a baby but didn't have the care around to the support around
sure.
to watch the other children. So we were able to provide help with that. Or there was a medical emergency situation with a family, and they had to go to another city to be helped. We were able to watch the children and keep them safe. And so that's something that's not always how we get children in, but something that we are talking about more. And then our area is facing significant homelessness
right.
issues with children. And so if we ever hear that there's a family sleeping in a car, especially anytime, but especially right now in the winter, if anybody listening or watching also hears of these situations, please know there is an option where the parents are not giving up their guardianship of the child. They're able to still be very much involved with the child, but we have a warm bed, food for the kids to eat. We make sure that they can get into school. And so that's something that, especially looking at the holiday season and the winter time, no child should be sleeping in a car in San Juan County.
Right. Very true. Well, and Child Haven seems to make sure that that doesn't happen as long as you know about
As long as you know about it. And that's the thing I think, and I can understand if families feel a sense of apprehension about placing their child in a children's shelter. And I think just whatever stigmas may be potentially associated, but at the end of the day, we are we're people just like, you know, right. You and me, who want to help and make sure that the kids are safe and provided for. So just really kind people over there at the shelter, really care about the kids and provide fun and activities for the kids. So that's another thing, that if a family is looking at that and considering that, come talk to us and feel really comfortable about it. And it is 100% their choice if they're in that situation to place their child at Child Haven.
Right. Put them in a very more secure, safe location than sleeping in a car.
Yes.
This time of year especially. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. That's really, really important. Yes. And so with all these things that we're saying and talking about, again, the job of Child Haven continues. I don't know of any other organization in the area that provides the services that Child Haven provides. You are somewhat unique in the area. The Child Haven has been honored, I think, statewide with some of the quality of your work. You have, I think, outreach in the Gallup area, too, these days as well. And so you really have a big footprint for providing these services that we're talking about.
Yes. So with the Gallup Center, so the Hummingbird Children's Advocacy Center provides the same types of services the Children's Advocacy Center here in Farmington does. So that would be the forensic interviews, which when there are child abuse cases, Child Haven interviews the children, so they're not having to go to multiple people to tell their story. When that happened, you know, years ago, when the process wasn't improved upon, that really increased the trauma for children to have to keep telling that story over and over again. So that would be, you know, if they told a teacher, then they're telling the counselor at school, and then they're telling law enforcement and the social worker, and then they're having to talk about it throughout the case. And this really reduces the number of times the children are having to tell their story. And then that helps the case go through and get the people that, you know, did this to the children where they need to be, off the streets and not harming children anymore.
Right. So that's what you're offering in the Gallup area now, as well as Farmington, San Juan County.
Yes. So. And so we reach throughout the Navajo Nation and other tribes to go beyond just San Juan County and to help families all around us get the support they need.
Right. Wonderful. And I know, too, at those centers, you work with law enforcement as well, right? So they are kind of there, maybe not in the room, but in the next room, are able to monitor that interview to help with their case or whatever the case would be, or the prosecutors or what have you. And that's the whole idea of having to just interview the child once, have all the people that need to be in the room or next to the room to hear what's going on. And then that's kind of on the record, I guess, as the case moves forward. Is that the idea?
Yes. Yeah, so they have an interview room. So that'd be with the Child Haven worker. Then they have hidden cameras. And then in another room, there would be the law enforcement and social workers who would be involved in the case. And then the family is in a separate room where they're getting support from another Child Haven staff member. And then it is being recorded to be used for this case. So we're part of a national network and also a New Mexico network, the NMCA, New Mexico Children's Alliance, that keeps us up to standard and our practice, you know, up to par. And we are just going through reaccreditation now even. And so it's something that it's not just us having these great ideas and this is the way because we figured it all out. We make sure that we adhere to standards with that. And it is also important. I appreciate you mentioning how we work with other agencies. So Child Haven, we're very purposeful about not wanting to recreate or duplicate services if another program is successfully doing it. So, and then vice versa, there's a lot of other agencies who do the same in retrospect, looking at what Child Haven provides. So working with law enforcement agencies, and that's just not just FPD, that would be the police departments all in San Juan County, Navajo Nation, the FBI. And so we're every day dealing with cases. And I just lost my voice. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. That's okay. Let's have a drink of water. Well, it's okay, but not a problem. But you work with all of the local law enforcement, the sheriff's office, of course, mm-hmm. tribal officials, and all of that, too, as these cases come to your attention.
Yes. So we started as a shelter, and right. to this day, people still think Child Haven is the children's shelter. That is true, but each of these other services hold just as much importance and just as much need for compassion and care and support. And so I would encourage people, as you're listening to this, of course, look at our social media, look at our website, give us a call. We'd love to have a conversation with people about the work that we're doing and how they can partner with us, because it's not just the Child Haven staff that makes this possible. We cannot do this without the support of our community.
Very true. And when you support Child Haven and the Child Haven Foundation, the Pledge for Children, you're supporting all these things that we're talking about this
yes.
morning.
Yes.
Which is really important.
It is.
So there you go. We are out of time, Andrea. I'm sorry to say. We could talk about helping children all day.
We sure can. And thank you for having us on and having these conversations. We really appreciate KSJE and what KSJE means to the community.
Well, thank you for saying that. That's really kind of you to say. But we appreciate the work of Child Haven that's been in the community for over 50 years and continues to do really, really important work. And that's why I support Child Haven as well. So thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Okay, thank you. That's Andrea Pena from Child Haven, my guest this morning right here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.